Recycling in rural Alaska can be an expensive logistical endeavor. And as recyclable material makes its way to local landfills, some electronics can threaten groundwater supplies. As part of our ongoing series on recycling across the state, KDLG's Dave Benninger looks at one Naknek resident's efforts to establish an economically viable means to recycle electronics in Bristol Bay.
When you think of the stumbling blocks to consistent recycling, what comes to mind? Sorting, driving to the collection point, teaching kids the three R's? Now keep in mind the couple of cans that slipped into the trash last week, and imagine if everything you wanted to recycle had to be shipped by barge to the nearest recycling facility. That's the reality for much of rural Alaska, and because of that big hurdle, the landfills are growing. But Holly Koning of the Bristol Bay community of Naknek knew that solutions could be found. She says recycling...
It's just always kind of been something I've been interested in. My parents are pretty environmentally minded. When I was a senior in high school, I did a magazine recycling thing, but it only lasted about a year, and then it kind of fizzled out.
To recycle those magazines, she set up a collection point down by the docks and loaded a container to go out of Bristol Bay at the end of the shipping season. The magazine effort may have fizzled, but the idea was good, and importantly, she discovered that some companies were willing to donate the logistics involved.
Northland Services has been kind enough to donate the shipping, but I do know it can be, you know, a couple thousand dollars at least.
So Holly, who's now studying at the University of Washington, shifted the focus to recycling electronics, something she says often gets overlooked. Electronics recycling includes things like
cell phones, cameras, washers and dryers even, TVs, VCRs, DVD players, ink cartridges. They'll take stoves, and I'm pretty sure that includes Toyo stoves.
And also things like copiers, faxes, stereos, and so on. So through her connections with Northland, she got a container down at the docks and established a small but dedicated network of volunteers to run collection during the week. Now the question was, where would the container of electronics go? She first looked at a firm in Anchorage, which would seem logical on account of the relative distance, but it was expensive, and ultimately many of the products would be shipped out of state anyway. So she talked to SBK, Green Century Electronics Recycling, in Tacoma, Washington. Chris Regis is the co-owner of that company.
Holly contacted our Tacoma office and was wondering what the fee associated with processing the material would be.
The fee, as it turns out, is free. That's because electronics recycling companies like SBK strive to recover as much material from products as they can, much of which can then be resold in the market.
We do practice reuse, so even as a computer doesn't work as a whole, we can use the parts and components to refurbish other computers, and then what is left over, we recycle responsibly, and we go for metal recovery.
And this, Regis says, works well for most of the materials he receives, not just computers. And electronics contain all types of materials that can be harmful in landfills. For example, the cathode ray tube monitors frequently replaced by flat screens contain lead. Other common electronics have cadmium, beryllium, mercury, and copper in them.
So as these things get tossed into a landfill and then begin to break down over time, those chemicals eventually end up in our water table.
And that's the key concern, that these chemicals can make it into the groundwater, which can lead to health problems, even cancer. And there's another thing. Hard metals like copper in the watershed of Bristol Bay, well, that's kind of a big deal around here. Regis says that recycling electronics not only prevents them from entering the water, but chip away at the need for new sources of some minerals.
We have already mined these things from the earth and built them into this material. Now as we recover and recycle, there's not as much need to keep mining the earth, which uses more of our natural resources.
So by reusing and recovering materials, Regis stresses that his operation is profitable. That's why he's able to offer the service for free. And if SPK recycles in an ethical manner at no cost to the resident, he says he builds equity in the community, which is part of his business plan. And for their part, Northland Services says the same.
It's a business decision that we've made. We've just decided to assist the different communities in Western Alaska with these needed services.
That's Maureen Fitzgerald, who works in logistics and operations with Northland. And she says that Northland would like to make similar containers available for Bethel, Kotzebue, Dillingham, and other villages served by their barges in Western Alaska.
As long as it benefits the community, we're definitely willing to do it.
Holly says she plans to continue the program if it's successful and is looking for a grant to fund keeping the collection point open. So long about October, a container she hopes will be full of washers and dryers and computers and such will set sail from Bristol Bay on its way to the recyclers in Tacoma, free of cost. As for the carbon use needed to ship that distance, Holly says,
I'm certain that there are carbon trade-offs, but I think that because the Bristol Bay region is so close to salmon spawning grounds, that it would be more beneficial for the community to remove those items and get them out of here. I think that that benefit would definitely outweigh the carbon footprint.
Maybe beating the carbon use is a project for the next ambitious young person in Bristol Bay. In Dillingham, I'm Dave Benninger.